Hello, welcome to my session. Today I want to show you how you can generate a REST application, a Celtic Fi application from a Swagger contract. So I want to start out with the contract and then show you how you can extend the application after you generated the code using code first. And then in the next step, freeze the contract so to prevent accidental changes, and how you can use the REST API, how you can generate client code, access it with a browser using a UI, and how you can share the REST API documentation in HTML or PDF format. And I also want to show you how you can customize the code generator itself. So today we will focus on Apache Celtic Fi and the Swagger feature it supplies, the Spring configuration and Spring Boot integration of Celtic Fi. And I want to show you all the Swagger tools, so Swagger Editor, CodeGen, UI, and Swagger to Markup. So this is the basic development cycle. You start out with the contract, you edit the contract. Usually a business analyst will do this. Might use a Swagger Editor. And in the next step, you generate the server code using Swagger CodeGen. You start editing the code, you add new operations, new models, and then you can use the Celtic Fi Swagger feature to generate dynamically the contract again, and you can replace the original contract or copy snippets from the generated contract to the original contract. And so you have the development cycle, and you can use code first or contract first and mix both, actually. And the fun actually starts when we involve further stakeholders. You can supply the Swagger UI to your testers, so your testers are able to explore the API. You can make it accessible to your client developers or co-developers, and you can use Swagger CodeGen to generate client code stubs. There are currently, I think, 32 languages, including Java, JavaScript, and so on. And you can use Swagger to Markup to generate PDF documents or HTML and hand this out to your clients. A few words about me. I started 2 years ago with Spring REST and Swagger Spring Fox, and I added the bean validation support there, and I moved on to Swagger CodeGen, and there I created the first JavaScript language implementation. I added bean validation there, and I improved the Celtic Fi server and client generator. And for Swagger to Markup, I also added the bean validation. So let's start with the contract. There's the WADL, the XML-based, published by the W3C in 2009. And we have the new specification format, the Swagger, which is JSON or YAML based. It started in 2011, and last year it has been transferred to the Linux Foundation, has been renamed to OpenAPI Initiative, and the next version is already on the horizon, so it's constantly evolving. Who in here is actually using WADL right now? Okay, and Swagger? No one, okay. There are other specification languages like Blueprint or RAML, but I think Swagger has the strongest support, the strongest community. So what is Swagger? Swagger is a language agnostic interface to REST APIs. It allows you to discover and understand the capabilities of a service. So you see all the operations and the models. And it supports two formats, JSON or YAML. If you want to know more, let's take a look at the OpenAPI specification. Currently, there are two editor supply, there are a few editor supplies. We have the Swagger editor, which is provided by SmartBear. It's basically a text editor running in a JavaScript environment in the browser. And we have Eclipse SwagEdit for if you use Eclipse. And there are also commercial tools like Restlet Studio or Represent API Studio. So this is what the Swagger editor looks like. At the left-hand side, you have a text editor with some content assistance. And on the right-hand side, you have a live preview of the contract. And currently, you are unfortunately not able to edit at the right-hand side and to add new parameters or new operations. You have to do everything in the text. And if you want to have a more user-friendly interface, you have to try the commercial versions right now. So that's not the perfect solution is not yet here, but it's the commercial solutions are quite nice. So you can give it to your business analyst to create the specification. So the Swagger editor is a JavaScript application. You can run it locally using the Node Package Manager. And you also can generate the server and the client code directly from the editor. Swagger CodeGen, this is the program which does the code generation. It's a Java program, and it includes mustache templates, so simple text templates. And it generates the server and the client code. Currently, there are 32 languages. We have all the major ones and already some not so frequently used derivatives. So it's the chances are good you find the target language you want to have. For the client code, for the server code, there are not so many languages right now. For Java, we have for Java JAX-RS, we have the specification. You can generate simply the specification, operation, and models. We have Jersey, we have Celtic Fire, REST Easy. And for Spring, we have Spring MVC and Spring Boot. For Celtic Fire, right now you can generate the interfaces, the implementations, and the models. And with the next version, the 2.2.2, you can generate a complete web application, including the typical configuration files for Spring. And you also have a Spring Boot support included, so you can run the application immediately. So you can generate it and run it. And you also get the tests generated, so you have templates for the tests, and to get the tests stubs generated as well. The only thing we are missing right now is if you add new methods and new operations in the original contract, they are not merged into the code. So this is missing right now. But you have to delete the test and regenerate to get the new operations. This is our interface. It's really simple. We say the contract we want to use, the target language, output directory, and we can use a config file to fine-tune the generation process. This is what it looks like. It's a simple JSON file, and you have different switches you can turn on and off. And now let's start with the demo. First of all, I want to show you the contract we want to use today. So it's a really simple contract.
At the top, we...
So at the top, we have some basic information about the contract. Can you read it at the back? And we have the base path of the services, a tag to group the services, and here we have the path. You have the path. You have the HTTP verbs,
And here we have a hello world operation. This is the name parameter and the first name parameter. We have and the marker if it is acquired or not, or if it is the input type, if it is a query parameter or form parameter or a file. And we have the type, so it's string, if it's string or numeric. And you can also specify the length of the property of the parameter. Here we have the response. So we simply return a string here. And we have a second operation where we want to return a model. And the model looks like this. So we have a separate model section. And there we define the model. We declare the properties of the model. And yeah, it looks quite really simple. And you can simply edit it. And using the Swagger editor, you have the content assistance for this contract. And now let's start with the generation process. So we simply invoke a Java program and specify the arguments. I say I want the language Celtic Fire and the output path, everything I had explained before. And let's run this one now. So you get the basic output information, what is going on and what has been generated. And now I'm going to import the generated project into Eclipse so I can further work on it. Start the Maven task. And now I can import it. And here we have the project. Let's explore it a bit. So here we have the interface. So this is the programmatic version. In JaxOS syntax, in Celtic Fire, we, as a default, we use the JSON format. And you have the path here, you have the tags, and you have the parameters. And bean validation annotations are used for the required indicator and for the minimum maximum length. And, well, looks quite nice. And for the model, here we have the model, we have the properties, and at the getter, we have the bean validation annotations ready for use. Let's continue with the implementation. So this is the implementation step, so you can start coding immediately. And for the configuration part, we have the Spring configuration. This is all the Spring configuration that has been generated now for Celtic Fire. It's just a really basic configuration to get the REST server up and running. Then we have the tests. The tests are Spring Boot integration tests with the dynamic port feature. And you have the implementation here. So the only thing which is left to you is to uncomment the invocation, and you can actually run the test. So let's try this one now. So the test will fail because the response is null. Right now we didn't implement anything yet. And now let's start with the implementation. Do some really basic output. And so first this is the string assembly, and now we also want to create create a response model. We also want to set the greeting and return the response. So now let's run a Spring Boot integration test once more. So it runs, starts the Tomcat, the embedded server, and now we have implemented the service. And in the next step, we can fire up the Spring Boot. The Spring Boot is generated in the test Java folder, Spring Boot application. And now I want to take a look at the application. So this is
the Celtic Fire start page. We have the WADL support and we have the Swagger support. I included the latest feature of Celtic Fire, so if I click at this link, I'm getting the Swagger UI immediately. So it's integrated as a web jar. And this is the REST application. So I have the two operations. And now I can start using the service, simply exploring it and see what's going on. So here we have a hello answer, it cannot be passed as regular JSON, and we have a model which looks a bit nicer, so in JSON. And if you want to see what is returned by the service, you have mouse overs here which indicate the bean validations annotations I have used, and you have optional or required parameters in the model, and here you see if you have entered a description of the parameters, so it's quite nice to explore the API. This is the Swagger UI, the JavaScript application. So. And we can also run a Maven and generate a WAR file. So I designed it that way that Spring Boot is only used for testing and it's not packaged with the WAR file. So you can take the WAR file and deploy it to Tomcat or to JBoss and it will run immediately. So you don't have all the Spring Boot dependencies in the WAR file. So of course you can change that if you want. So that was the first part. Let's continue. The Celtic Fire server stub supports the following features right now. We have the Swagger generator. You can switch on and off if you like to have it or not in the generated code. The WADL generator, bean validation annotations. You can activate the automatic bean validation feature of Celtic Fire. You can add a compression. If your Apache haven't installed it at the Apache in front of your web services, you can activate it on your application server. We have logging and integration tests I already showed to you. If you want to see all the options that are supplied by a specific language, you can use the Swagger cogen config help command, and it will simply dump out all the options that are available with a short explanation and the default value. By default, always a minimum is generated, and we can switch all the features on. And I'm going to do a demo now with all the features activated. To regenerate the application, I only need to remove the application context here because only the application context holds all the Celtic Fire configuration information. So let's regenerate it.
I will quickly show you the configuration file so you see what is actually configured. So it looks like this now. So I simply
switched everything on except the JaxB annotations, so the model looks a bit cleaner.
And now let's take a look at the generated application context. Now
we have all the Celtic Fire configuration that is necessary to run this automatically generated, and you can use it immediately. The purpose of this was I started with Celtic Fire in August, and it took me quite a while to get all the features working, and there are some features which don't work if you have the wrong dependencies at the class path. And so I thought it's nice to have an easy start with all the configuration options active, and you don't need to know the Celtic Fire configuration details. You simply use it.
So let's try this one. So first of all, let's try to fail the test, create a failing test. So actually, we already have a failing test. We have, we have here null values. So the test worked initially because the values haven't been validated, but if I run the test now again with the bean validation active, it must fail. So let's try this one. So now it failed, and we see at the response, we see the all important
error code 400. You see the logging interceptor is active, so I see what's going on in the server.
And you also see the compression is active, so the
accept encoding, the server is now accepting compressed
files, the gatezip files. And now let's make the test running again. So we replace the null values. And run it again. Now it's working, so we fixed it. And yeah, that's, I can also show it at the UI. Let's run it as a Spring Boot application once more. In the Swagger UI, you always get the request URL, so you can simply copy it. And let's fail it once more. So I don't see the error 400 in the UI. This is depending on Firefox. But if I take a look at the server, I see I have an incoming request that has failed, and I get the output of the validation exception mapper of Celtic Fire, which says, okay, the first argument, the argument 1 is empty, and the size must be between 1 and 255. And if I change this, I get the response. Not JSON, but so it's working. So we have activated the bean validation, we have activated the compression and the logging interceptor so far. And this was the server stub generator.
Let's continue with the further development cycle. Now we have generated the code. We want to extend the code using code first again and use the API. And then we want to freeze the API, so we use the updated contract and generate from the contract always the API and the models, so they cannot be changed accidentally by a developer.
This is the basic cycle. And now we are able to extend the application so we can add new services, new operations, new models. We can use the Swagger annotations to document a generated contract. We can use the bean validation annotations to refine the model. And the Swagger specification always gets updated automatically. So these are the app annotations. You have the add API at the service class level to switch the Swagger API on. We have API operation to describe the operation, API response to describe error codes and return types, and we can also add documentation to our model. Then we want to freeze the API. We can include it in a build job. Maven or Gradle is supported, and the build job will generate the sources then with every build. And you can use the Swagger CodeGen ignore file if you want to protect specific files to not get updated during the build, during the code generation. This is what the Maven configuration looks like. So it's pretty much the same as the CLI interface. Let's do a demo. So let's add a new parameter. I'm making an optional parameter. And now I've changed the interface. Let's go to the implementation. Add the parameter. And I'm simply giving it back to the user. And let's also update the test. A small user. And let's try if it works. So, okay, the age is there. Now let's take a look if the contract is really up to date, the generated contract. Let's start the Spring Boot application. At the Swagger UI, you can input the contract you want to watch. And here's the contract. And now we have the age parameter here. And we see it's not required, an optional parameter of type integer. And this is what the language agnostic format looks like. So it's not language specific, it's simply an integer format int 33, 32. And now I can copy the updated contract snippet I want to add to my original contract. But first of all, I will copy the contract itself. So I copied the contract I have used initially. And I copy it to my generated project, so it's part of my project now. Move it in a separate API folder. So now I have the contract. And now I want to move the new parameter into the contract. So now the parameter is part of my contract, and if I want to freeze now the API, and so I need to add a plugin to my Maven configuration to regenerate the contract automatically. So I'm going to add it here as a plugin. I prepared the generation part already. So this is what is needed to regenerate the contract. And I copy it to my new project, remove the comments. And now I'm able to regenerate from the contract I copied, and I'm going to generate into the base directory of my project. And to prove it's really working, I'm adding a comment. I am adding a comment to my interface, and this comment has to vanish now. If I regenerate the code, now we see the existing files that are part of the application are not updated, only the model and the API. Model and API are rewritten. And my comment is gone. So with this way, you can freeze the contract, and if anybody changes the code and does a commit, it will be overwritten automatically. Usually, if I regenerate the API and models, it's part of the target folder, so it's not part of the application, of course. I only did this for demo purposes. Let's move on. For adding the new operations, you can use it directly in the front end, you can use Spring Loaded. If you are not using it yet, I highly recommend it for Spring Boot applications. If you are deploying to a JBoss ERP, you can use the servers plugin of Eclipse, for instance, and it does the same job. Now we have already implemented the server. We want to go to the client side. We want to generate the client stubs, use them in the Swagger UI, I already showed this, and we want to generate the documentation in HTML and PDF format. We can use Swagger CodeGen to generate the client code. Why should we generate the client code? We don't have to implement the API calls manually. They are always consistent. We have a consistent client code with the API. We have code completion, and you get compilation errors if the API is breaking with a newer version. Swagger UI, I already showed it to you. It's the JavaScript application. And Swagger to Markup is an open source project, a smaller one, I think with three committers or so. And it allows you to render the API, the Swagger specification, in PDF or HTML format. In the first step, it generates scdoctor files, and then you can generate HTML or PDF. And you can also include custom scdoctor files as well. So now let's do a demo on this. My application is still running. And now I'm going to generate, first of all, the Java client. So I start Swagger CodeGen with the target language Java. I'm updating the client code, and let's take a look at the API. Oh, I'm sorry. So I'm now going to generate the Java client. I already generated it, and here is the API client. So this looks a bit more messy than the Celtic Fire implementation, because the Java client offers multiple methods. So you have asynchronous methods or synchronous, and this makes it a bit more not so nicely looking as the Celtic Fire client. And if we want to use the client, I have a generated test here. So the tests for the clients are also all generated the same way. And now let's try this one. So I already implemented the test. Let's simply run it and let's put an assertion. And let's run it. Okay, so the test is working. Now the Java client has made the API call to the running REST server, and I use the Java language. So Java is easy. We already had this in the VADL to Java. Now let's move on to JavaScript, which is not yet available for VADL. We have the JavaScript library implementation. So this looks like JavaScript usually. We have support for required.js, AMD, common.js, or simple JavaScript, which makes, and the generated code looks like simple JavaScript. We have the query parameters and they are passed on to the server. And now let's run this. So I prepared a simple invocation. What is really important is the code completion. So I have the code completion for JavaScript here, and I see the methods that are implemented at the REST API. And now let's run this one as Node.js. Okay. Let's take a look at what is going on here. So I see the options have been added, but we are calling the say hello with model. It's name and first name. Okay, this looks good, actually. Let's take a look at the error message itself. Okay. That's our error. Let's take a look what is actually null. Let's start with Spring Boot again. Okay, now it's working. I didn't update the server. So you see, I'm getting the greeting back from the server and I'm using JavaScript. So this has it been for the JavaScript client and for the client code. And now let's move on to Swagger to Markup. We want to generate a PDF from the updated contract. Let's take a look at the configuration. Swagger to Markup is based on a Maven configuration, and there I can specify my input file. I say which contract I want to generate, and first of all, it uses the AssetDoctor Maven plugin, and in the next step, it generates the HTML or the PDF. Let's try this one. So the PDF takes a bit of time to generate. And now we have the HTML and PDF. Let's take a look at the PDF. This is what the PDF looks like. So we have a directory of contents, and I can go directly to the resources. And here we have the Hello World application with a new parameter, the age. And for the second operation, we also have a reference to the model. And here we have the details of the model. So this is the PDF I can send to my customer. The HTML pretty much looks the same. So let's move on. A quick note on a migration. It's important to ensure portability. You can do this quite easily using JaxRS. And don't use the response object. Use it only if it is really necessary, because you can use plain operations with the response model directly in the operation. And then the Svega specification gets updated automatically. You don't need to annotate it. And you can more easily port it to other frameworks, for instance, Spring Boot or JBoss REST Easy. So it's important to keep the signatures clean at the implementation. You can also customize the generator. There are mustache files, which are an equivalent mapping to the generated sources. So you have the API mustache, API service implementation, POJO for the model, API test for the tests. If you want to use your own templates, you can use the -t flag and specify your own template directory, and you can customize the template you want. You can simply copy it from the language you want to use and then customize it. And for instance, you can add a custom Maven profile or a logger you want to have at every service implementation, or you can customize the unit tests. You can also easily create a new language. And for instance, if you want to add a new configuration file which doesn't exist and you want to have it generated automatically, you can extend the language class of the language you want to use. You have to add it to the CodeGen config. This is important because otherwise it won't work immediately. You simply copy the language templates and then you can start with your own language. You'll find more at this link about building your own templates. And I think we have one more minute for the demo to show how this works. So I prepared a custom language here, and I wanted to customize my Maven build file. So I copied the Maven build file from the Svega CodeGen sources. This is the listing of all the languages. And we have Java, Celtic Fire we have here. You have the Celtic Fire client implementation. And here is the server. And here is the pom.mustache file, which is the template I want to customize. I already copied it and I added a custom profile to allow local deployment. I'm using the Maven Antran plugin to deploy it to my application server. And the only thing I have to change regarding the generator invocation is I have to add a parameter -t and specify the template path where the template resides. And to do a demo of this, I have to delete the original Maven configuration I already generated. So I'm simply deleting it so I can generate it once more. And I'm running the Java program with the custom templates, updated the project, and see, check if the profile is here. The profile is here. And I can run it immediately and deploy it to my application server. So it's really easy to customize the templates. And now I have it at my JBoss, so I'm not going to show this. And let's take a look at the custom language implementation. So what do you have to do if you want to add a custom language feature? I prepared one here. So this is what it looks like. I'm extending the language I want to customize. I'm adding a Boolean flag here, and this is a CLI option I want to pass in. And then in the processing part, I'm checking if the option is set, and if the option is set, I'm propagating it back to the model of the generator, so it is available in the Mustache templates, and then I can query for this flag if you want to use it in the Mustache templates, and I can also use it directly in the language here, and I added a custom deployment, JBoss deployment structure file here, so if the CLI flag is set, I want to write the JBoss deployment structure XML. I have here the custom language name. This was it from the implementation part. And I have to specify the magic file here, which is simply a listing of all the languages that are implemented. I only have to edit here. And now I'm able to generate with this custom language. And let's do this. So I don't have to delete anything because it's a new file. I'm running the generator. And let's take a look. At our WebIn folder. And here we go. So this is the custom deployment structure file. It has been added. And so you can easily extend the language, add new files, and you can also modify the complete generation process if you want. It's easy to start, got to get started, and if you need support, you can directly add new issues to the Swagger CodeGen project. So let's take a look at the Swagger CodeGen project itself. So the project, you can simply add issues here if you have any question regarding a language. And you can do pull requests if you like. If you add new features or you fix a bug, please move it back to the project. And right now the project has 400 contributors, so it's constantly evolving and it's constantly bug fixing, of course, because there are so many languages. And yeah, if you have any questions, you can raise an issue there. A short word about Wadle. If you still have to use Wadle because your company enforces you to do so, you can use Wadle to Java to generate the server stub, as you did in the last years. You can add bean validation support using the Crasa JXP tools, which have not yet been moved into Celticfire. You activate the Swagger feature, and then you can generate the Swagger contract and use the Swagger contract to generate the client code. So you can use Wadle for the server stub and Swagger for the clients. So you can use the 20 or 32 languages that are available for the clients. So we have made it through the presentation. I showed you everything I wanted to show you. If you want to contribute, please do so. We have Swagger CodeGen, the Java program, Swagger UI and Swagger Editor, which are JavaScript programs, and Swagger to Markup for the PDF generator. Everything is open source. And that was it for my part. Thank you for attending and listening. And if you have any questions, it's now the time for it.
The last session. Thank you very much. Thank you.